a new commandment, and it's a summary of the Ten Commandments ultimately. Love one another as Jesus loved us. On the cross, we see the culmination of the Ten Commandments with that love. We've heard, I'm sure, many homilies. I've given many homilies on different ways of loving, that total self-giving love, often exemplified, well, first in the cross, but then also in marriage. We also hear that we're to love our enemies as Christ does, that we're to love our enemies. We can't hold grudges, we can't treat people differently, even if they hate us. But whatever way that we're supposed to manifest love, which is a self-giving, it's impossible unless there's someone else that we love first, and that is ourselves. We have to love ourselves. And I'm not talking about a selfish love. I'm not talking about taking care of number one. If there's anything left over for anybody else, well, okay. But I'm talking about a true, proper, healthy love of self. I don't know, I don't believe I'm any different than any of you. And so, to the degree that that's true, my guess is each one of you, like me, struggles to love yourself, at least in some way, at some level. When a young couple comes to the church for marriage, and they stand here in front of the priest, and they exchange consent. Have you come here freely, permanently, and open to children? And then they say, I do. They're facing each other. And I always watch very intently at their eyes. As they're repeating what I say, that's usually how they do it. Are they looking at each other? And in that true love, that truly healthy love, you will see it because they're able to look each other in the eye as they make that final decision to love the other for life. We can do the same thing with ourselves. Have you ever stood in the mirror and looked directly into your own eyes? I have. I've tried. And sometimes it makes me uncomfortable. Because I'm not sure that I'm worth that love. The eyes are indeed the window to the soul. And so unless I can love me, I'm going to have a very difficult time loving you. Obviously, this is on a continuum, on a gradient. There's a great axiom that I may have shared with you before. And it says the following. It says, if you can't be kind to yourself, to whom will you be kind? If you can't be kind to yourself, to whom will you be kind? Well, that applies to love. If you can't love you, then who else will you love? It starts there. Why do people struggle with loving themselves? Well, like any why question, there are a myriad of potential answers. But I think when it comes to self-love, there's maybe some foundational reasons. And one of them is because we have a false definition of value. Only love something that has sufficient value. That makes sense. We tend to ascribe value based on, I'd say, two categorical things: skills and possessions. If I'm good enough at this, then I'm worth loving, worth that respect. Or if I've possessed enough things, then I've earned love and respect. But it's really a lie. Why is it a lie? Why can I say that? And I say it definitively, because if that were true, if skills and possessions were the measuring sticks for lovability and respectability, then children, by definition, would not be lovable. The handicapped would, by definition, not be lovable. The elderly, as their skills wane over the years, would, by definition, be unlovable. And this occurred to me, the non-elite. Think about it in terms of sports. If skills and possessions were the measuring stick for lovability, then in order to be truly loved, I'd have to be elite in my level of skill or my quantity of possession. I don't know about you, but I'm out. You can't love me. And if that's true, then you and I are going to look ourselves in the mirror and say, unlovable, not worthy. But as I said, that's a lie. So now the question becomes, how do I love myself in the proper sense? Well, I don't have a crafty solution for you. I don't have something that you're going to go, oh, I got to share this. This sounds really good and cool. And yeah, the kind of magic pill. I don't have that. But I have the truth. I can only love me if I love the one in whose image I am created. It's that simple. It's that boring, if you will, at least rhetorically. Until I love God, I can't really love myself. What does that mean? It means that I got to get to know him. Now, how do you get to know somebody? Well, through prayer. Okay. But you might say, well, I've been praying my whole life. And I don't know if I love God. There are people that can pray their whole lives and don't know him. How do you get to know God in prayer? Well, one of the traps, and I'm going to put this in quotes as I'm recording this so people can't, one of the traps of Catholicism, and I want you to hear this correctly, is devotional and rote prayer. The rosary, the chaplet, and the prayer books. And again, big quotes, and hear this correctly. Why do I say that? Because if what can happen is those things become so mechanical that I just, quote unquote again, say my prayers. I gotta get in my rosary. I gotta get my prayers done before I go to bed. And there's something good about that, in that I recognize there's a great importance in prayer. But how do you get to know someone? conversation. Speaking and listening. To get to know and to allow yourself to be known. So sometimes, and I say sometimes we have to, again, quote unquote, put the rosary down. Don't ever put it down for good. But maybe better said, in addition to the rosary and the chaplet, is to then put it down and just talk to him. In your own words. A couple weeks ago, I went to confession. And I had to confess this. Bless me, Father, I've sinned. And among a few other things, I said, I've been disrespectful of how I talk to God. I was lipping off to him. And I was. Weather has always affected my mood. And as we know, it has been anything but a nice spring. And I would come in here or stay in the house or driving down the road. And I would be like, so, really? You won't even give us a nice day? What did we do so wrong, Lord? It was like that. It was that kind of tone. Now, you got to be careful. But there's something good in that. I will not talk to an idea like that. In fact, I won't even talk to an idea. I might recite some words about an idea, but I will not talk to, speak to, nor listen for an idea. But when I speak to the Lord in my own words and sit and listen for him, I realize more and more he is real. He is personal. And therefore, I can love a person. And if I love the person in whose image and likeness I'm created, then I can love myself. It's about relationship. It's about being vulnerable. It's about coming to know God and letting yourself be known and therefore loved.